Be kind to your mind and smart with your heart. If you want a good day, that's a great way to start. We all live on this planet, so let's all do our part. It's our mission as Earthlings to reach for the stars. If you're here, then you're ready. I know that you are. And we're all gonna do it with kind minds and smart hearts.
Welcome to the Kind Minds, Smart Hearts podcast, where we are building our very own mom village because no one else is doing it for us. I'm so excited to have Tracy Showalter. Is it Showalter? Is that how you say it?
Yes, the mouthful.
No, it's great. My last name is Santishan, so, mispronunciations all over town. Tracy is the founder of Lighthouse Co., a home wellness consulting firm that has taken the world by storm. Whether it's decluttering, organizing, appliance cleaning, or educating you how, Tracy is steadfast in her mission to help you and your families function better and live lighter. Welcome, Tracy. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
And you may have noticed me perusing your Instagram today. I was just making sure I had some extra fun things to talk about. And I noticed within like the first five posts, so many things that I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
So before I get to the questions that I really need to get to, first of all, you're addicted to fire.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I am. And it's so funny because everybody messaged me and they're like, when's your birthday? Whatever.
Are you a fire sign? That was my question too.
Okay. So I'm a total Leo.
Okay.
I'm a fire sign. And I am also in 2 weeks, which I'll be sharing about, I'm having mine and my entire family's charts read, like really in depth.
Oh, nice.
So I can kind of, cause I even wrote, I was like, hey, can somebody unpack that for me? But
yeah,
I'm so into all of that spiritual Same. Side of things. And, I'm so excited and she's on IG. I'll be sharing all about it. We'll find out more about why I love fire.
It doesn't happen to be Fix My Life podcast, is it?
It is not. No.
Okay.
Sacred Wing or something. I'll have to, she's very tiny on IG, but.
Okay. What's your birthday? If you don't mind me asking, if you don't want to share, that's fine.
No, of course. August 2nd.
So birthday.
Stop it.
No, I won't.
It's total Leo.
Oh yeah. He's my little Leo baby. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, and when people meet me, if they know a little bit about astrology or whatever, they're like, they don't even need to ask. They're like, mm-hmm. You are such a Leo. And I just, because I've heard it so much, I love to learn more about that.
And that's so cool.
Yeah. Okay. So get this, here's another reason why. So there's that, but then all three of my kids are Pisces,
mm-hmm.
February 20, 21, 22.
Oh my gosh.
Order, oldest to youngest.
Oh, that's bananas.
Organized. but they're, they're so different. So yeah, the Pisces is their sun sign. Anyway, I'll figure it out.
Well, that's funny. My brother and I are one day apart. He's February 7th. I'm February 8th. But we're both Aquarians, but that's interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, and then this ties into the next thing I wanted to ask you about, which is you're a big Bravo fan. Which I am also. I'm wearing my Lisa Rinnett Own It Baby shirt in your honor.
I love that.
And Fix My Life podcast, she does tarot, not really like charts or anything, but she does know about that. And she's a really big Bravo fan. So if you don't follow her on IG yet, you should. You'll love her.
Gosh, I'm going to follow her.
Yeah.
I follow Rinna. I love Rinna.
Yeah, she's a nutball, but we love her. And I saw Sonia in your city last week, actually.
Oh my gosh.
Which was amazing. My neighbor actually won tickets and then was sick and couldn't go, but she transferred the tickets over to my name because she's a sweetheart. And it was exactly as you would have imagined, Sonia bearing it all.
Of course. She was here, I guess, at some casino in a sketchy part of town a couple months ago. And so many people went and said she was amazing.
Yeah. She loved it. I mean, you could tell she was just in her element. They had to basically yank her off with a cane. And I think I said that last week. I was talking to Oh No Chels last week, who used to be Oh No Bravo. And, Sonia just, she loves the light, lamplight, and she needs it because she's amazing.
Totally.
I think she's a Scorpio, though, which is a little bit weird. You would think that she'd be hiding.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Hiding under all the covers, but maybe she's just hiding behind something else.
Yeah, well. Well, we won't get into all that, but yes.
That's a whole nother podcast.
Exactly. Okay. And the two other, and these are more related to what you do. One of them is you said something about getting rid of all your scent beads. which I totally related to because I used to be really big into scented detergents and all, and you know, dryer sheets and everything. And then my son has eczema, so we had to kind of cut that out and use the Free and Clear. And now we use the like sheep's wool dryer balls instead of dryer sheets. And I cannot go back to scented now. Like for once your nose cuts out the fake smells, I actually just like, this is clean and I know it's clean and it doesn't have a scent, but I just know it's clean. So yeah, no.
But I also think it's not, this isn't something we're going out with girlfriends and talking about, you know? So I understand that the conversations and the topics I'm bringing up aren't necessarily mainstream, but I want to talk about it. Yeah. Because I want to help, I want to educate, and I want to have these conversations about it. If your son never had eczema, you might still be there.
Right.
Majority of homes are there because they think, well, it smells great, so it's clean. Mm-hmm. And the complete opposite of that, even a client today who I taught her all about the laundry stripping, et cetera. And she texted me, she's done now about an hour ago. And she's like, I'm going to sleep so much better tonight because I cleaned her washing machine and then we stripped her sheets and everything. And then those went into the clean washing machine. She's like, I'm going to sleep so much better just knowing how clean everything really is. Mm-hmm. And I have full goosebumps because there's this, is I'm just right where I should be. This is totally my alley. So yes, get rid of all the scented stuff, please.
Yes. So, okay. So on that note, what do you use to clean your washing machine? Because I noticed that the cleanser that is recommended by my washing machine brand is also scented. So I feel like maybe it's just a fake thing that's not really cleaning it. That's just fake.
Let me guess. Afresh.
I think it's an OxyClean product, maybe.
Okay, a lot of them are like Afresh or like a Clorox tab or something. And yeah, there are a lot of scented things in them. Mm-hmm. The problem is it's the majority of customers that, and consumers, I should say, that are cleaning their machines are doing it in a reactive way. Mm-hmm. So if you think about, like, my chiropractor will say, well, don't come to me when your back hurts.
Right.
You know, come at on a continuous basis so we can be, you know, proactive in this. And it's the exact same thing with our machines. The Afresh tabs or whatever, sure, they're scented. And then they're okay if you have a brand new machine. They're okay. But what we go in and do, depending on the level of mold, is cleaning out the filter and the drain pump. If we can access it, it's about 50-50 on a front load. There are pulsator plates on a top loader. I know I'm speaking another language. I'm happy to answer any questions. But, you know, it's like, I just found so much mold in this. And she's like, no, look, my machine's clean. And I'm like, okay, give me a butter knife. And we got a little bolt plate off. And there's, it just smells like a dead body, you know? And she's like, holy moly. And so people don't, you can't take a pill and become skinny the next day. You know, you can't put in a fresh tab in and expect a clean washing machine. It is a manual process and it's something that we have to continuously keep up with the same way we keep up with brushing our teeth and washing our face. You know, we keep ourselves clean. We've got to keep our machines clean that are cleaning our dishes, the things we put on our bodies, the other stuff. Yeah. It's just such a cycle.
It reminds me of Monica cleaning her dustbuster.
I am Monica and I clean mine.
Yeah. Well, gosh. Okay. So do you put like vinegar or anything into your washing machine or what would you use?
That's how I maintain it. So depending on the severity of the actual machine, if it's too far gone, if we're talking about a front loader, that the mold has, for lack of a better words, basically moved in because the rubber ring, the material, it's porous. And so over time, if you completely neglect that area, that mold moves right in. It's not going anywhere. And so I've got a guy here that I've forged a really wonderful relationship with to repair those and replace them. And then I can go in and teach the consumer, the client, how to maintain it. But it is after every load series for me. And I've got videos all over IG of exactly what I do. Like I wipe everything down. I keep the front glass clear. I keep all the seals clear. I monthly run a vinegar cycle to not only help freshen out the drum, but also the outgoing drain. Cause like that nasty water that's washing, I mean, that can totally cause problems, but hey, out of sight, out of mind, right? So nobody right. even thinks about it. So vinegar is a wonderful product, and it can also help to descale any of those hard water deposits, et cetera, break things up in that tube, help a little bit with smell. And then obviously the dispenser drawer as well, because that can be filled with mold that just sits wet. So there's just mm-hmm. so many things, but just sounds like, you know, me even saying that, it's like, oh, what a burden. You're right. It's a burden, but there's such an emphasis on the fashion world, you know? And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. cool. Buy your $700 sweater and then you're going to wash it and you're moldy, stinky. I don't know. You know what I mean? That's extreme, but I see there's so much like materialistic and consumerism, but then we don't really take a step back to think about how to properly take care of these things. I mean, this is a huge investment. Our homes are a huge investment. Washing machines, dryers, dishwashers, these are huge investment pieces. And so we really want them to last way longer than a couple years. And so how can we really get the best return on that investment? And while we're staying healthy at home with the things we're eating off of and, you know, getting in and out of our fridge and putting on our bodies. So,
Okay. Yeah. We just got a front load washer, like I guess it was 2 years ago, but time flies. And I, you know, I had the same top loading washer for so long and I had no problems with it and it was amazing and never got stinky or anything. And, and then I got this front loader and it started, and I used the little cleaning packet every 3 weeks or whatever, but it started getting stinky and I called the manufacturer and they're like, oh, just leave the door open. And I was like, I have to leave the door open all the time? That stinks. That makes my laundry room full of doors. Like, I don't want that to happen.
And that is a valid concern that I have so many customers. So you can change the spot that the door's on for some of the machines, but most can't do that. Right. Yeah. And you have to call in an appliance repairman, et cetera. So then you are stuck with all these doors. I mean, I had this sweet client. They just built this brand new, gorgeous house and they built this perfect second laundry room on their second floor. And it's all brand new, whatever. And they were so excited to show me because they were a repeat client. And I walked up two weeks. I walked in and I'm like, why is the door shut? You know better. Like, I know, but it's in this new closet. I'm like, well, we can't do that. Open it up, moldy. 2 weeks. Think about, and it's a family of six. Think about the moist environment, dark, cold, moist.
What's gonna closet happen? Close. Yeah, exactly. And upstairs it's even warmer than downstairs. So yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So, but again, you know, I'm also skewed because I've seen it all. So I'm like, I got all the stories, but you can keep a front loader.
You can. Okay. Well, I don't want to talk about front loaders the whole time, but I appreciate you. You've given me a lot to think about and a lot to look into. I'm going to go back and look at some of your IG videos. Okay. So let's talk about you a little bit about your family life. Tell me, you said you have three kids earlier. So tell me, what does your home life look like a little bit?
Yeah. So we live downtown Columbus, Ohio, three little babies, like I said, very close together. They just turned 7, 5, and 3. Two girls and a little baby boy. My husband's in medical sales, so he works OR hours, long hours. And I was actually in medical sales too before this all came about. And now I'm just a mom that's influencing on social media and running a company.
Right. Well, hey, I'm there too. I feel you.
Like so many of us are doing it now. Yeah. But I'm also, I mean, I'm right where I should be. And I know it. I know it so hard.
Okay. Well, tell me about the Lighthouse Co. I mean, it's a home wellness consulting firm. Break it down. What do you guys do? How are you doing it? Why are you doing it? How does it go?
So home wellness is very abstract to everybody, except me and my little brain. And so the best way, like when I'm at speaking events, right? The best way I can break this down is if you think about wellness, wellness is such a buzzword. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what wellness is. They're like, well, it's meditation and working out and eating healthy and fitness and whatever. And all of those things are valid and self-care. And I love them all and I do them all. And I noticed that there was a pretty big gap, you know, that we've got cleaning people and we've got people that decorate our house, but there's really no other almost like layer of adulting. There was no resource for us homeowners, even if you're a renter, There was nobody to fall back on to ask these questions. You're like, I just didn't know. So then, you know, this happened, or it just got, I started feeling really overwhelmed in my house, but I didn't know what to do. So I moved to a bigger one. So I just thought, home wellness was the best title, if you could, for all encompassing, which is what we do. We do a little bit of it all. So we've got this appliance cleaning pillar. We also have this decluttering and purging pillar. Yes, we will do organizing, but we're not like an organization company. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest part, and the reason it's called Lighthouse, is the education piece. And these are consults that I do all over the United States. Just really teaching everyone how to do this and how to access these tools within their own homes to not only feel better at home, feel more in control, and know that they just, you kind of, you got this, you know, you sleep a little better, you feel more connected to the place, your sacred place where you lay your head down every single night. And so it came about, I've always been this way, but it really came about accidentally. So when you asked me the question, why are you doing this? I was asked to do this. Towards the end of COVID, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. I am sick of posting about my beautiful babies. So I started posting, like Monica Geller, I started posting about taking apart my Dyson and my dishwasher filter and my, you know, organizing my mudroom. And I have never had more messages in my life. And people were like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you did that. And my, I didn't know other people did not. Right. So that was my thing. And, so that got a conversation going, and then I would post some more, and I had so many people reach out, please come and help me. And I thought, you know what? Sure. So my mom came down for a week to watch my kids, and I spent 1 week. I picked five people who didn't really know each other, and I spent 5 days, and I was their total bitch. Wow. I did fridges and washing machines and dishwashers and pantries and mudrooms and closets. And Friday, I was so exhausted but elated. It was so rewarding. And they all were like, please, you have to do this for other people. Like this amazing. Was, and I didn't charge them a dime. I said, you know what? It's been a really hard year. Let's just call it what it is. This is my way of giving back somehow, the only capacity that I knew how, without like donating money or whatever, just donating my time and helping them regain some sort of COVID sanity. And so, you know, fast forward a week later, I was in an ER with my son on a vacation. The last 2 days of 2020, I'm like, of course this would happen. This year sucks so bad. And all of these people started sending me messages about how they felt lighter after I left. Oh. And that whole drive home from Florida, I thought, I think I got to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't have the answers. Like, I'm like just a mom, hardest job ever. And I've only known sales for 15 years. I have no idea what I'm doing running a business, but the difference was I know exactly what I'm doing when I'm in your houses. And that has translated. That's when it just took off. And so that is how the Lighthouse Co. totally started.
I love that. And I love that it started with you just doing something to give back. And, I've said this before on this podcast also, but I get an email from the universe every morning. It's not the real universe. I realize that. But it's this guy who sends these really lovely motivational messages. And this morning it was something like, the right path will come to you in a moment of clarity, not confusion. And so I feel like you got this, like all of a sudden this light bulb moment. And it was like, all these people were telling you this, and it's awesome that you chose to follow it. And I know that it's also really scary to give up a career path, especially medical sales. I know that's a well-paying job, but yeah, that's awesome. And so do you fly to other people to help them with this, or how does that work?
So I will for anyone. I did a Northern Michigan last year. It was called like Wecatonsing Harbor Springs. I was there last summer, but my family came with me because, you know, the other thing, so my husband, we don't have family help here. My mm-hmm. husband, it's just the five of us and his schedule right. is so demanding. So, I have had to say no to some things, but I just spent a week in Seattle last week. I worked the entire week and then I had a big speaking event downtown. So I had a company fly me out to do that. And then, you know, we put out a scheduling link so people in the local area who were following me could actually access me and get scheduled. And so I met the most incredible people. I've got a Florida trip coming up. And then of course I have inquiries about other people wanting me to fly out, whether it's for speaking or I've got this group of five ladies in, you know, La Jolla who want to fly you out and do that. And so I'm super open to that. And I will make certain things work as long as they can work for the family, because I love this company. It's my fourth baby, but I do have a responsibility and they're babies, right. you know? Right. So it always has to be the right fit. And so far, the ones that I have traveled to have been amazing. Majority of my business is right here in Columbus and surrounding suburbs.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get you like a nanny that just flies around the country with you.
I mean, trust me, take care. The amount of my friends who are like, I will quit my job right now and come with yeah. you. And I'm like, you know, at some point, if the demand is there, we will absolutely make those sacrifices 100%. Because I'm a yes man and I love traveling with my kids. I love taking them all over the place. I would love, and Seattle, welcome. They're like, please come back. So we're already going back to Seattle and I'm taking two of my kids this time. Amazing. So I'm really, really excited to just continue to explore that and just spread the light. Oh my gosh, I love it so much. I keep getting goosebumps. I'm a universe person too. So I feel the pulls.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, this is, I'm really glad to get to know you because this is just all really awesome. And I'm really happy. I'm like super proud of you. Like, I feel like I'm your mom. Like, you can do this, sweetheart. You're doing great. okay. So you had said to me that having a lighter house helps you be a better parent. And I know that a lot of my listeners are, well, hopefully the majority of my listeners are parents. Otherwise, I don't know why they're here really. But what do you mean by that?
So I almost feel like we would have to define lighter house, right? Because okay. I feel like it could mean so many different things to so many different people. We all have that threshold. Mine is very mm-hmm. low, obviously. so a lighter house is basically a space where we can open up a drawer, a cabinet, we can come home from work and open up the door. And it almost greets us. It's not like, where the hell do I put my purse? Where do these book bags go? I have all these school kids, you know, school papers from all the kids, and we've got to run to soccer, and where are the cleats? And it's almost like it feels great. We have chosen everything very purposefully that live in those spaces. Everything's got a home and we feel really confident and comfortable there. Mm-hmm. And so because of the world that we live in today, we live in, my kids, they think commercials, when a commercial comes on, they think the TV's broken. That's the world. That's our next yeah. generation. So everything is so fast paced and it's like, skip the ads, mom can't skip the ad. I'm like, excuse me, but that's just,
I watched all the ads when I,
right.
Was
I was like, yeah. I had to get up off of my couch.
And yeah.
So it's like, we live in this fast paced environment, mm-hmm. this no patience environment where you can have anything at the snap of a finger. You just saw Amazon in my driveway. Right. And on top of all of that, we can do all the things, right? But nobody has time. Mm-hmm. So when you have a spare moment, do you want to declutter your mudroom? No, no. So there's this whole mentality of like, just shut the door and like, it'll just figure it out. It'll figure itself out. And like, I just got to go. Yeah. And that mentality is no longer serving us. It's not. And the majority of my clients come to me and they say, I am drowning in my house. I am drowning. I am so overwhelmed. I got a text today from a client with a laundry list. These are the next thing. I've already done so many projects at her house. These are the next things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this is my dream list.
Yeah. And let me come do it. Yeah.
Oh, well, and she also was like, texting me a couple weeks ago. She's like, I just need you to move in. She's like, I am losing my mind at home. And it's typically that like reactive approach to when a lot of people hire me. And so, okay, so back to the parent thing. Because of this world that we live in, we get so caught up. Okay, we've got to do like our best job and we've got to keep up with our fitness routine. We've got to eat the right things and have a social life and be a good parent, whatever. Well, how can we be a good parent when we're pulled in so many different directions? And then we get home and our home life where we're at with our sweet little babies is such a stressful environment. Like, Jackie, that shit impacts us, right? Mm-hmm. So physical clutter is mental clutter. Whether or not you are thinking to yourself, wow, I am stressed out. I feel anxiety. You know, it's not robotic. Mm-hmm. It's sending these messages to our brain saying, yo, get a grip. But then it's just so quickly, well, we got to get the kids here and go here and go. Just so, so fast paced. And I don't feel like we are equipped. The majority of us are not equipped to handle this world and how fast everything can come and how little time we have and how we have access to everything. So just kind of taking a step back and really focusing on the basics. Mm-hmm. It's all like being grateful. You have this beautiful home. You know, I always start there. It's really psychological, but I feel like that is an easy way for us to become better parents. And then if you talk about kids' rooms, another huge spot where parents get so overwhelmed, the kids' rooms, you know, really lightening those, only having what you need, clearing stuff out as it goes seasonally or as the kid grows. I mean, there are so many ways we can do this. I could talk to you for 17 hours on this.
Oh my God. Well, okay. I'm having so many thoughts while you're saying this. So first of all, we're just starting to move some toys from the playroom into my son's room, which I don't like because right now we have it as just like, it's a sleeping space, you know, his clothes are in there, he have books in there and just like basics. But he's told us, you know, my room doesn't feel like I don't want to sleep in there. He wants to sleep in our bed because he doesn't feel happy and safe in there. I said, what would make you feel happier? He said, I need some toys in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm going to get you two small baskets. Whatever you can fit in these two baskets are the toys you're allowed to bring in your room and have in there.
Yeah.
So hopefully that sticks. But I try to be organized. I have ADHD. So what will happen is I'll set up a system and then I'll keep up with it. And then 2 months later, the baskets are just doom baskets full of everything. You know what I mean? So I have to go back and redo it. And it's hard for me when I'm like, I already organized this. Why do I have to do it again?
Yeah. I do have a lot of mental health ADHD clients, and it's because of the way that your brains work differently. That's just the nature of the beast. And it's totally fine. Right. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part is when you've got the doom baskets and then you get to the point where they're so back up and you're like, I just did this. That goes into your brain and it says like failure. Like I didn't do it right the first time. This is BS and what a waste of time. But the reality is that happens. And that's why you've got the doom baskets. And so just make sure you're managing that inventory so it doesn't become as doom and gloom for you. So maybe do it before it gets so big and wild, because like we have to go back and acknowledge that we have houses with kids.
Right.
We do. And it's fleeting and it's short.
Yeah.
And we can really set our own intentions at the beginning of every day of how we are going to approach this scenario when the doom basket is totally filled. When I can't find the soccer or whatever it is, you know, that's kind of your thing. I hope that helps.
I mean, and it does. And I don't really give myself too much of a hard time about it. And I do realize that a lot of the time it's just my son, you know, toddler. I have a 3-year-old. So he's just like, oh, I love baskets. Cause guess what? I can put a million things in this basket. And I'm like, no, this is supposed to just be for this.
Big me 3-year-old boy also have one of those.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but you're right. I think something that I need to work on more with my son is acknowledging that, you know, I don't really play with this anymore. It's time to get rid of it instead of just shoving it in a basket. Like we need to donate it to somebody who could use it and actually will. It's not just a trinket for us to have forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also getting them involved in that piece of it. You got to know your kids. So it was really funny. My kids know exactly what I do, when I do it, how I do it, what mommy does for a living.
Yeah.
And we were driving past this corner downtown today with a really large homeless population. Mm-hmm. And we will stop and give things or whatever. So we're driving by, and it's usually at nighttime. It was in the day. And my kid said, "What do they live there? Do we need to go later and give them some stuff?" And I said, "Well, what kind of stuff would you like to give them?" And Olive, my five-year-old, she says, "Well, you know, there's some Legos in my room that I don't play with." I said, "Well, that'd be a really good start." Mm-hmm. But not the bin downstairs, but just the ones in my room. And okay. And then Hazel, my seven-year-old, "Don't get rid of anything. I'm not getting rid of anything." Mm-hmm. And so I share that story just so, like, we have to know our kids, right? Your right. kid wants toys in his room to feel safe. He yeah. wants all the things. And so, like, having the conversations with right. them, getting them really in tune and giving them a little perspective. I mean, three's a tough age. You know, mm-hmm. you and I both yeah. know. Yeah. But like my 5 and 7 year old now, they've heard about it enough mm-hmm. that it's more accepted in their hearts. Hazel still has a hard time with it, but she will accept it because she knows, like, we live a very blessed life and we are grateful for the roof over our head, for the food, right. all that stuff.
And And I definitely don't want to, like, sneakily throw away his things because right. that I think will cause more trauma than is necessary.
Yeah, it sounds, in the very short time you're telling me about your son, like, I can already yeah. pick up on that. Some yeah. of my clients, it's fine to do that. I meet their kids and I'm like, "Oh, we'll be fine." And they are. Yeah. And some of them can't handle that. And so I will really push and advocate to have them become a part of it. And then the lasting benefits and advantages, just as a mom, I'm just like, "Oh my God, my heart bucket is so full." Yeah. Because I hear these stories from moms where it's changed their children's lives. And I'm just like, yeah. So anytime people are like, "Oh, you're a cleaning lady," I'm like, "Well, not really, but okay."
Okay. And then one other thing that I picked up on, I don't know where this connection came to me. I can't remember what you said, but it was something about systems and how having your house kind of greet you, I think. But since we moved in, I've had to change a few things. Like, I'll have set up, this is where the keys and the sunglasses go when we come in the house. And then after about 2 months, I realized that's not working for me. And so then I move it somewhere else, or I put it in a different basket, or I do whatever. I'm trying to be a basket person. My sister-in-law, she's like a magnificent basket person. Yeah. And she's got baskets for everything. And I love it. I love opening her cabinets. They're beautifully organized and gorgeous. And yeah. So I'm trying to do that. I'm not as good as she is. But my husband's always like,
"We all have our strengths." Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so my husband's like, "Oh, so we keep these here now." And I'm like, "Yeah, you'll see. It makes more sense. Trust me. You'll get into it in a little bit. I know it takes some getting used to, but I'm sure you agree. Like, it's just like, you have to see what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and like adjust as needed."
You have to. This is so important. Let's not just jump over this. When we do a project like this, because we think, you know, the keys, it's not working here, let's try it over here. That's kind of the key. Let's try it. I'm not saying I'm cementing mm-hmm. it in and super gluing it down. I'm going to try to see if this system works for us. And if it doesn't, change it. Because what I see is people are just like, "Oh, well, we moved in and like the previous owners kept the silverware out in the base, down in the basement. So like, we just do too." You know, that's an extreme example. Yeah. I'm like, "Wait a minute, what?" Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I caught from what you just said was when your husband, like, "Oh, hey, we're doing this now."
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I say is to have a little family meeting, get everybody involved, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you and your husband are both doing it together, if it's a you and your husband thing, as far as like mm-hmm. the keys and the sunglasses, et cetera, see where it makes the most sense for both of you. Because mm-hmm. as soon as it makes sense for both of you, or at least we compromise to a spot where it makes sense for both of you, then the more consistently we will put it back, because it's easy. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that makes sense for Jackie. Like, for us, I'm like, it has right. to make sense for Mark and Tracy.
Yeah.
It has to make sense for both of us. And it's a big reason that a lot of the projects fail. Because a wife is like, "Well, I'm going to set up this closet and I'm going to do this, whatever." And then they're like, "Oh my God, well, my husband came in and just destroyed it." I'm like, "But did he have anything to say about
any input?"
It?
Yeah.
Any input. You know, we're always talking about, even with our kids, like teamwork and how can we right. do this better? Like, I almost want to say that to, you know, baby Mark and Tracy, like, how can we do this better? Oh, okay. So we can like talk about it and really take a step back instead of like, screw it, I'm so mad about where the keys are, I'm just going to do this. So it really has to be a collective effort. And then the same thing with kids, you know, that's what I'm saying. Get kids involved. Let them have a say in their room, you know, where things are. And
I was going to ask you about having kids have accountability for their own spaces. Tell me more about your theories on that.
Totally. Because, you know, the same way with us, and I see you on your podcast or on your Instagram and all your reels, really equating it to adult situations. Mm-hmm. And I truly feel this is what I tell parents when they hire me, is that them having accountability for their spaces is them being able to have choices. Mm-hmm. And then they have this total reward at the end. Total reward. They, if you think about, like, if my boss came in and was like, I'm going to give you this huge account, you're going to have this whole hospital, you're going to be responsible for, I'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah. And then he did all the work. I'd be like, bro, why am I here? What? And it's kind of the same thing with a child, right? You're like, okay, here's this big job for you. Here's your bedroom. Mm-hmm. And allowing them to do whatever they want with it in that sense. So the example from 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. this little 8-year-old girl, and she was up a couple times every night. She had a lot of like behavioral issues, and she kept her room. It was a tornado. And then anytime her mom would come in, she was like almost graphic. Even when I first got there, she was like, no, come on, no, this is mine. And so you really have to, because that's what she was taught. So mm-hmm. you really have to get down in there and sit with her and just let her know, look, this is, it's not going to be something where Miss Tracy just comes in and throws all of your stuff away. That is not it. You and I get to have a discussion about every single space. And so I have a process, and I explain the whole process to her. And I let her pick which side of the room, because we'll typically pick one and then we'll sweep across. So we're not in this drawer and that drawer and over here. So everybody knows what to expect. And it really resonated with her. Now, it didn't start amazingly, but just because she had been taught for so long, oh my God, you know, and the mom was like, oh, she's really scared that you're coming. I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, we're not sending the right message, but it's okay. Cause when I get there, I'll really be able to set her mind at ease, because that is not my intention at all. And you know, the mom did, she wanted to go on a day when her daughter had school, and I said, absolutely not. Just because talking to her mom about it, I could really gather that this child needed her hand to be held during that process. And every time she left the room, she would say, you got to pause, because I'm going to get a snack. And I said, absolutely.
I'm not going to do anything while you're going. Yeah.
Exactly. And just like reassuring her over and over, and that respect. So my assumption, and no mom is wrong for doing this, my assumption was that she has experienced that trauma, if you will, I'm using air quotes, of something being taken without her consent, without her permission. And that's really traumatic for a lot of people, no matter what it is.
Yeah. Even for kids, and parents don't realize that their kids are just people sometimes. I mean, people all the time, but parents don't realize it sometimes. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And it's really hard. I saw you somebody was doing one on forced sharing. It was you or another account. And I remember seeing that and thinking, it's so true. If someone came in and took something from me right now and just got rid of it. You know, if we think about that, so we as parents might not value the exact same things our kids do, but the more conversations, the more light we bring to this situation, the more we can talk about the benefits, you know, the more pain points we can identify. I mean, she was having a lot of issues. She has since not woken up a single time, not a single time. And it's been three weeks or so since I've been in there. Her mom has hired me to come back for the other daughter and her kitchen and her basement and all the other things.
Amazing.
She said she feels so proud of herself. She even said to her mom that she's like, you know, it was really hard, not hard like learning how to play the guitar, but just hard in a way because some of the things made me sad. She's like, but we talked a lot about giving to other children. You know, we have direct lines where we can donate to people that really need stuff. You know, I worked with a lot of very financially blessed houses. That's just what it is out here. And so really talking to the kids about being so grateful for what we have and knowing that I'm sure birthdays and, you know, grandparents will be bringing in more things. And like, we get to decide what stays, we get to choose. And right. It's the things that we love that make us feel so good when we wake up in the morning and we see them. And kids thrive. I have just seen so many kids thrive after this kind of work, not just my own. So I feel like my statistics are.
Well, I think it's so important to I don't know, to understand that not only do kids place value on different things than you might think, but they also have a different level of cleanliness, maybe like a different value on cleanliness than we do. I have a lot of parents that'll be like, how do I force my kid to clean their room? And my thing is always, you know, teach them how to clean their room in a way that makes sense for them, but yeah. also understand that their room might not be as clean as your room, as the living room, as the central areas of the house. Mm-hmm. But if you set up a system and you teach, like, we're not born knowing that you should group things together and put them in a drawer. You know, we're just not born knowing that. And so mm-hmm. it's, you have to actually like sit there and do it with them to help them.
We have this grave understanding of newborns. We know they're going to be hard. They're not born knowing night or day. Mm-hmm. Same thing. We're not born. Our kids aren't born knowing how to be organized AF. Like, come mm-hmm. on, you know? So it's the same way that we have to teach them how to be like in tune with their emotions or great friends mm-hmm. at school, how to share with a sibling. This is also brings about so many teachable moments for our kids. Mm-hmm. And something else you said about, you know, parent, how do I force my kid? First of all, don't, because if you're going to force me to do anything, I'm running. And the same with a kid, right? Mm-hmm. The same with most people. I think that's our mentality. You push me, I'm out.
Right.
With our kids, I mean, with a lot of things in life, we got to lower our expectations. We really do. And once our expectation is, so when I have my kids go and clean their room, it does not look anything like I do it, but they're taking pictures. They're showing me on our camera screen downstairs. They are like, look at me, mom.
Yeah.
Did you see this? That is enough. That mm-hmm. is enough. And they feel so good about it. And now because it's a part of our routine and it's something that we in this household talk about often, they get it when I'm like, hey, can you run down and clean the basement? We're having a bonfire tonight and a bunch of your friends are going to come over. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, can you run up and clean your room real quick? Hey, where are your dirty clothes? Oh yeah, mom, they're on the ground. I'll put them in the hamper. Thank you. Can you take your hamper?
And that's a skill they'll take with them into adulthood, and you won't be there to always remind them, but they'll be like, oh yeah, I remember I'm not supposed to have my clothes on the floor when my friends come over, or I'm not supposed to leave my towel on the floor because it's going to stink, or, you know, whatever else.
Yeah. Well, think about, okay. So this is why I want everybody to know. I'm like, I will fly anywhere. I will talk to anyone. I'll teach it anywhere. This doesn't just benefit us, our level, right? This benefits this next generation and their best friends. When they're at a sleepover, their college roommates, their boyfriends, their husbands, anybody that they are cohabitating with. This benefits, this work will benefit them. And once they fully appreciate and understand it, I know we joke a lot about like adulting, but this is truly like the foundation for adulting, the basics.
I will. And that just like hit me in my heart because growing up, my mom, love her, miss her. She suffered from bipolar depression and she had schizoaffective disorder and addiction. And she spent a lot of time in her bedroom. And my brother and I raised ourselves and our house was beautiful, but it was a mess. No, you're fine. It was a mess. And, you know, like I'm saying literally like our dog would poop on the carpet and nobody would clean it because my brother and I thought, well, that's our mom's job. And my mom didn't come out of her room. So she didn't see it. Yeah. And, my mom would cook spaghetti and be like, I made you spaghetti and leave it on the stove and we wouldn't eat it. And then it would just stay there for a week and there'd be mold on it. Like there were times when it was disgusting. So I never learned cleaning from my mom and, you know, she taught me a lot of other wonderful things, but I had a best friend in high school, and I would go to her house and I would stay the night on school nights and everything because we were super close. And her mom would make us a chore list and put it on the table and say, before you guys can go swimming or do whatever else in the afternoon, you have to finish XYZ. And I learned it from my friend because her mom had taught her. And so exactly what you're saying mm-hmm. is why. And now I have friends that come over to my house, and I mean, I'm not going to turn the computer around to show you my desk because it's kind of a mess right now, but my friends will come over and be like, oh my gosh, Jackie, your house is so clean. And I'm like, okay, well, I just tidied before you got here. But also, you know, like that wouldn't have been possible. And I'll shout her out now, Nancy Bruni and Sarah Bruni. Those were as my friend's mom and my friend growing up. Amazing. But like they did that for me, and otherwise I wouldn't have had that. So very good point.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That- hugged at my heart so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and everybody has a thing, you know, and that's, and it was embarrassing for me to have friends over as a kid. And I didn't understand why. I mean, I did understand why, but I also didn't know how to fix it. It was too big of a problem for my kid mind to yeah. fix. So I just was like, okay, come over, but please know this is what you might see. And I just had to deal with that embarrassment.
Yeah. So. Which you keep, obviously, here we are talking about it.
Right.
We keep that stuff.
Right. I'm 40 years old now. You know, this is when uh-huh. I was in middle school. So
yeah.
Anywho. Okay. So I'm sure you have a million of them. And I want, at the end, I'm going to make you share all of your social media stuff. But is there one, is there one mom hack or piece of advice that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Yes.
Before they go watch all your videos.
I do have 1,000, but
okay.
One that seems to be resonating the most, especially with the Seattle audience. So I was saying to them, you know, we talk about managing our inventory, lower expectations, all the things we've already talked about. But my biggest thing, I'm like, if you see something or feel something, mm-hmm. I ask, I always say, then do something. So if you see something, do something. Mm. If you see a pile on the stairs, take it up. Mm-hmm. If you see laundry that needs to be folded, fold it. Mm-hmm. If you see piles of mail, open them. If you see something, do something. And then the same with feel. Because if you open a drawer and you're just like, I can't handle this. Ugh. Do something about it right then and there. Like trust that little ping inside of you, that little light bulb moment to say, I have been choosing this, but not today. And I feel like that will continuously snowball in the best direction. Cause once you tackle teeny tiny thing, you're like, I'm a boss. I got this. And then the next drawer and then the next room, and then it's your garage. And I've seen it happen so much. So it's like these little tiny habits of action. So that's my biggest piece, the little things we can control.
Okay. I'm going to ask you a follow-up on that if you don't
oh,
mind.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So say you see laundry, but you see it when you're on your way out to go do something. Do you yep. recommend like setting a reminder? What's your strategy there?
I would take it. So our laundry room is right outside of our master on the second mm-hmm. floor. If I'm walking out and I'm like, ugh, Mark didn't finish the laundry. Mm-hmm. I'm not walking by and building up resentment and whatever. I'll just put it in the laundry basket. I'll bring it over to where I fold it, which is at the foot of our bed with a glass of wine and Bravo.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Like, I mean, always. Hello, make it enjoyable at least.
Right.
But and that's something that I call a habit of action. Leaving it in the laundry room is just like, whatever, you know, out mm-hmm. of sight, out of mind. But putting it where I know it's going to be, that habit of action is like, okay, now I know I need to do that before I go to bed. The same thing, like your chore list for you and your friend. You have to do these before you go swimming. Or it's like, mm-hmm. okay, I have to do this before I go to bed. And I mean, yeah. we're a family of five. There's a lot of laundry. So the alternative is keeping it in the laundry room. And then we've all seen that disaster where it piles and piles and piles. Right. And then they call me and I'm like, whoa. But that's such a great question. And yeah, habits of action, little tiny things, you know, and just making sure like you have a pile of donation stuff for Goodwill, get it in your car, get it in your trunk. I don't care if you drive around with it for 6 months, get it out of your house. Cause you yes, will.
You will for sure. I mean, I will for sure. I need it to really get my car smell on it before I donate it. Just so they know.
So funny. Also, and everyone does that.
So. Yeah. It's so funny. Oh. Okay. Well, thank you so, so, so much. It's been really great talking to you. I feel like I know so much more about you now, and I'm definitely going to share you with a few of my friends who I know will appreciate. But for those people that I can't share you with, where can they find you on social media?
Okay. So I have a website. It is www.thelighthouseco.net. And then on IG, we are at @the_lighthouseco. And it's a real good time. It's a real good time. We got a lot of fun things coming up, and I'm always available. I'm like, DM me. I just want to share it with the world. You know, like so many more videos coming up. I'm so excited. And for you, thank you, because I truly feel like this is a valuable conversation for parents.
Yeah.
For wives, for everyone involved. And so,
well,
thank you.
You're welcome, I guess, but it's more you. You did so much, and I really do appreciate you sharing all of this because, yeah, I mean, first season of this podcast, it was me and my brother just talking and sharing our opinions, but I'm really, really loving getting to talk to moms who I haven't met yet, who have these special sets of skills that they can share with the world, because there's so many amazing women out there that have these skills. And this is, I think, going to be so valuable and so interesting for a lot of people. So thank you so
Are
much.
Are you trying to make me cry?
No.
No, we do. We all have these sets of skills. And my biggest thing too, I always say, like, learn over compare. Like, I'm not going to compare myself to Jackie. Like, she's doing her own thing. And like, let's just learn from each other and then elevate each other up. And that is just all I could ask for. So I could talk to you for hours. Thank you so much.
Well, anytime you feel, if you know, we need to catch up. I haven't watched the last reunion episode of Summer House, so I'll send you a DM and let you know.
Don't spoil it for me.
Okay. All right. Well, it was great talking to you and everybody else. Don't forget to be kind to your minds and smart with your hearts. And if you want to find me, I'm @kindminds_smarthearts on TikTok and Instagram. And I am @kindminds on Twitter. And you can email me, Jackie@kindmindssmarthearts.com.
The material presented on Kind Minds Smart Hearts podcast and the bonus episodes are not an attempt to practice medicine or give specific medical or mental health advice. The podcast was created to be entertaining and informative and contains examples from the host's lives and experiences, but does not attempt to cover every mental health issue. It should not replace consultation with your doctor or other qualified mental health specialists. If you believe you or another individual is suffering a mental health crisis or other medical emergency, contact your doctor immediately, seek medical attention immediately in an emergency room, or call 911. Thanks.